Father, we thank you. We can open up the scriptures this morning. We thank you that it's by your word we find life, and it's by your word we also live. And so we want to ask as we open up the Bible that you speak to us, that your spirit come and your spirit come and bring renewal and conversion to our minds and to our hearts and to our hands so that we begin to live under your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last few years, 15 years or 16 years, really, I've met lots of people who struggle with many things in the life of the church. People see me for a whole range of reasons. They share their sins, their temptations, their challenges in their lives. But in about 16 years of ministry here at Grace Point, I probably only had one person who's ever come up to me and actually said, "Huge, I'm struggling with greed." It's a rare thing. I love making money. I love holding on to it. I'm always buying stuff for myself. I'm obsessed with money. Only one person in 16 years. We must not be a very greedy church because only one person's ever fessed up. I suspect it's because most of us don't see ourselves as greedy people. And we don't. No one actually thinks they're greedy, especially when you look around you. Even look around you now, whether you're in high school, university, or whether you're a worker or family, when you look around, you see that everyone around you lives in the same socioeconomic bracket. You belong to the same socioeconomic bracket. And generally speaking, you do live in the same socioeconomic bracket, even though some of you make more, some of you make less. And when you compare, we tend to compare ourselves with people like us. And so it justifies, it affirms our lifestyle choices and how we use our money. Because if everyone around you looks the same, it must be okay for me to live a certain way, to spend money a certain way, to use it a certain way, because others are doing the same thing. Or it justifies my lifestyle because when I compare myself to others, I look around and I will always find people who make more than me, who spend more than me, which means I end up saying what I spend on myself, what I pursue, what I do with my money is nothing compared to them because I'm not spending much. And that's the reason why we're often blind to greed in our own lives. If everyone around me lives a certain lifestyle, you assume it's okay to do the same. And if you look around, you also assume that your lifestyle must be okay because you often spend far less because you always find someone else who spends more around you. So you can't possibly be a greedy person. Now, can I suggest to you this morning, very gently, that maybe, perhaps, we might actually be blind to our greed because Jesus speaks a lot about greed. And so come with me to Luke chapter 12, which is the passage I want to land on this morning. We'll look at a few passages because we're still working through our topicals on respectable sins. And when you get to Luke chapter 12, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the anatomy of greed. Let's begin to understand greed as Jesus portrays it, as Jesus explains it. Because here's a story Jesus tells about a very greedy man. It's such a familiar story. You have heard it before, you've read it many times, but if you have your Bibles, it actually begins in verse 13. I haven't got verse 13 up there, but the context of the background to Luke chapter 12 is there are two brothers, right? Two brothers, Ivan and Jason, and they are actually in conflict. They're not getting along, they're fighting each other, and there is a dispute we read over the family inheritance. I know some of you are not familiar with the Bible, you look at verse 13, you say, "I can't find Ivan and Jason." No, it's not there, I've just made the names up. So just imagine Ivan and Jason, they're in conflict over the family inheritance, okay? One wants what the other brother has. One is grabbing because he sees that his brother's got the family inheritance, and the other brother, he's not letting go, he's holding on tightly because he won't share what he's been given. And so Jesus then speaks to the crowd of people hearing this. And as Jesus speaks to the crowd, notice what he says. He said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Now notice what Jesus says. Jesus actually says there are many different kinds of greed, many expressions of greed. The warning is to guard against all kinds of greed. Because it's not just money or possessions that people can be greedy for. Think with me for a moment. People can be greedy for power. People can be greedy for rank. People can be greedy for reputation. People can be greedy to be well-known socially. People can be greedy for a whole host of things. In fact, you read in Matthew chapter 23 that Jesus calls the Pharisees, Jesus calls the pastors of the day, he calls them greedy and self-indulgent on the inside. Why? Because they long for recognition and power. You can even be greedy for sex. But it's mainly money and wealth that Jesus is dealing with here. And normally in our culture, that's the reason, that's the object of most people's greed, wealth. Why? Because if you're wealthy, if you have money, it brings everything else. It brings power, it brings status, it brings recognition. Notice the first thing as we look at the anatomy of greed. Okay, number one, greed is a must-have-more attitude to things. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It's an insatiable desire for more, for more, for more. It's an all-consuming attitude towards money, wealth, and possessions. More, more, more is really the attitude. Some of you have heard this story before, but some of you have not. Tolstoy was a Russian novelist, and he wrote a parable, I think in 1886, a parable about a man, a Russian man called Pahom, who believed that if he had more land, if he acquired more property, if he had more land in his possessions, he would have nothing to fear in life. And really, that's the reason why we accumulate, if you think about it. The reason why we want more, because we think if we have more, then we have nothing to fear in life. Our life would be secure. Now, in this parable that Tolstoy, the Russian novelist, writes, this man, Pahom, lives his life acquiring land. And then finally, he has a novel offer put before him. For the sum of 1,000 rubles, for the sum of 1,000 rubles, he can have all the land he can walk in a single day. And all he's got to do is with a spade, he's got to mark out the boundary of the land. There's one catch, though. He has to make it back by sundown, or he will have to pay the 1,000 rubles and he gets no land. And Pahom is really delighted because he believes he can cover a great distance. He has the chance of a lifetime to have as much land as possible. And so he stays out as late as possible with his spade, marking out land, as much land as possible, until the sun begins to set. And then he realizes he's gone too far out. He's far from his starting point. And so he starts to run as hard as he can, to the point where he's exhausted from the run, but he makes it back just before sunset. And everyone applauds him as he arrives. But he's so exhausted, he collapses on the ground and he dies. And his servant buries him in a plot of land, a grave only 6 feet long. And it answers the title of Tolstoy's parable, because the title of Tolstoy's parable was, how much land does a man need? How much land does a man need? Not much. 6 feet. The acquisition for more. Grabbing and grabbing and grabbing. That's the first thing Jesus says. And so as Jesus speaks to a crowd, people hearing this, he said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for a man's life does not consist in his possessions. Now, and then, here in this story, the man has a fruitful harvest. So we put it up there for you. It's a big crop, and because he's got so much harvest, he's faced with a major decision, right? So you look it up there. Notice, he didn't get his wealth immorally or unethically. He worked really hard. He was a hard worker. He's had a good business here. And so he's got to work out, where do I store my crops? Now, you'll notice five times, verse 17 to verse 19, you'll notice he speaks of what I will do. As if he owns it all. Now, here's a spirit of it's all mine, it's all mine, it's mine. My time, my money, my land, my friends, my home. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. He sounds like us, doesn't he? That's why we save, we accumulate, we put money into our super and investment, because we hope we will be able to take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry for many years. See, notice how he speaks. He speaks of my fruit, my barn, what I own, my life. Now, here's the second thing in the anatomy of greed. Greed is always self-indulgent in its focus. It's all about me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. That's his worldview. Because the greedy only think of themselves, and they live with themselves at the center of the universe. Read it carefully and you discover something else about greed. Because this man also sounds incredibly confident about his future. You see there? He's incredibly confident about his future. He puts himself at the center of his world, and he lives as if he's in control and on top of the food chain. This is the illusion that comes with greed. Here it is. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones." And in verse 19, "And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." You see there? Because we tend to think like this as well, don't we? We think that having more will give us security. Because this man speaks of all that he has, and he speaks of the security it'll give him. It'll give him many years, a happy life, a secure life. He speaks of what he will do as if he's in control. And so here's the third thing with the anatomy of greed. Greed is finding security in having more. Now, we all think like that, if we're honest, because we think having more will secure our future. That's how a lot of us think. We think having more wealth and possessions and acquisitions will give us more control and security in life. You know, that's the basic philosophy behind making money or wealth creation. Some of you have been to wealth creation seminars, but that's the basic philosophy behind wealth creation. The phrase is, money gives me freedom. Money gives you freedom. Freedom basically to choose, to decide, to direct, to decide what I want to do with my life, to do it my way. And that's really a form of playing God in life, isn't it? In fact, if you look very closely, you will also find that this man isn't just grabbing and accumulating wealth, he's also hoarding it. He's grabbing it and holding it for himself. And so here's the fourth thing you'll notice. It's all kept for his personal use and gain. See there? "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods." And who's he doing it for? For himself. It's not just marked by grabbing, it's also marked by hoarding and holding on for self. Why does he stockpile for himself to eat, drink, and be merry? And so here's the fourth thing that Jesus says about greed. Greed is hoarding everything for self, keeping and holding on to what God has given you for self. It's a spirit of my precious. It's the spirit of Golem, really, if you think about it. In the grip of greed, not just grabbing at the ring of power and wealth, but holding on to the ring of power and wealth. I was reading the papers this morning, actually, and because lots of things have been happening in the news, but Clive Palmer has been in the news recently, if those of you who have read the papers. And Clive Palmer's, his net worth, according to Forbes magazine, he's worth $550 million. That's Forbes. But the Business Review Weekly actually estimates his wealth at $1.22 billion, okay? And recently, he's been in the news because Queensland Nickel has just gone into administration. They made 237 people redundant, and then they put the company into administration, which means that they probably won't get their benefits. And this is what Clive Palmer actually said when people actually criticized him because it's his company. He said, "My business empire, whatever assets I own, are set up for one purpose only. Everything I own, everything I've made, is set up for one purpose only. And that's to make me happy, and I'm happy." And you think, that's Clive Palmer. How greedy. But if you think very carefully about it, many of us live like that. We do what we do. We acquire what we acquire, really, to only make one person happy. And that's ourselves. What he has, what he owns, his perspective, it's all for him. And Jesus actually calls it greed. And so there are four things there in your outline if you want to have a look at that really quickly. Greed is a must-have attitude, more attitude towards something. Greed is a self-indulgent in its focus. Greed is finding security in having more. And greed is hoarding what you have for yourself. It's my precious. I'll never let it go. Now, this is the reason why Jesus constantly warns us against greed. Because if you're greedy, he says to us, greed will eventually disappoint us and greed will eventually crush us. Because notice what happens. This man lives his life grabbing at stuff, hoarding more, and just when he thought he was in control, just when he thought his life was secure, God took his life. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." Now, why is he a fool? He's not a fool because he worked hard. He's not a fool because he was a self-starter, an entrepreneur. He was a fool because he banked his life on his wealth and possessions, thinking it would give him security and happiness and control in life. Like Pahom in Tolstoy's story, More does not give us security, does it? Really, if you think about it, we live our lives, all of us here, even if you're a student, we live our lives either grabbing at things because we think it'll give us security and happiness. That's why we're always, you know, wanting that new game, that new release, because we grab at things because we think it'll give us security and happiness, or we're stockpiling, we're holding on to things because we think it'll give us security and happiness. We do one of two things. That's why workers hoard stuff, because they think, I'll save it for a rainy day. I might just need it. The problem with greed is that we're grabbing and we're stockpiling all the wrong things in life. Because do you know why wealth and position and money cannot give you security and lasting happiness? Do you know why it can't do that? It can't do that, and I put it up there for us, because an eternal longing cannot be satisfied by a finite and earthly object. Do you know that God has placed an eternal longing in your heart? You are not just flesh but spirit. Your soul has an eternal longing. And so in life, we long for eternal love. We long for eternal happiness. We long for eternal joy. And God has so wired us up that in our lives, we live our lives looking for that joy and happiness and satisfaction in life. And it's an eternal longing. And because it is an eternal longing, it cannot be satisfied by a finite, earthly object. That's why you read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. God has placed eternity in the hearts of men and women. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. In other words, your desires in life, your longing that you have, that you pursue in your work, your study, your career, your wealth, whatever you're looking for, it can't be found because that longing is there. God made you really with a God-shaped soul. And only an eternal being can fill an eternal longing. Do you know that even those who are rich and wealthy, even they are not satisfied? Even those who've reached the pinnacle of earthly wealth find themselves empty. They find that it doesn't fill the void. Many of you might not know the name, but you'll certainly know what he's made. Many of you might not know the name Marcus Persson. Some of you will. But you will know what he's created. Marcus Persson, he's known as Notch in the gaming world. You know who he is? He's actually the creator of Minecraft. And last year, he sold Minecraft to Microsoft. Do you know how much he sold it for? He sold Minecraft to Microsoft for $2.5 billion. Straight after that, he was on a beach partying in Ibiza. And he tweeted, I feel more isolated than ever before, even with all the money, being able to do whatever I want. And so to pass the time, he blows thousands on casinos and bars. He recently bought a $70 million home, outbidding Beyonce and Jay-Z. And he tweets, I can have whatever I want, but I'm still unhappy. You know what? Billionaires feel unhappy as well. Has it ever occurred to you? You think, man, if I had more, if just a bit more, I'd be happy and secure. Well, you won't. Why? Because God has placed that eternal longing in your soul, and an eternal longing that can only be filled by an eternal being. It cannot be filled by a finite, limited, earthly object. And that's the reason why we're greedy, you see. We're longing for more. We're trying to find security and happiness, but we're looking for it in all the wrong things. You know, that's why Jesus says, you notice Matthew chapter 6, notice what Jesus says. That's why Jesus warns us, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. Why? Because moth and vermin destroy them, and thieves break in and steal them. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Gather for yourself, he says, treasure in heaven, because it's eternal, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. That's the reason why when tragedy comes, and destroys what we have invested in, with what we have been holding on so tightly to, when the things we've put in our security in is taken from us, what happens? Our world falls apart. I love this. Those of you in your computer, right? It happens in our home every so often. You're in the middle of a League of Legends game, and then internet drops out. Oh, your world falls apart. Ah, you guys laugh. It's only a game. But guess what? You buy a new car, right? You're on the road. Bang, someone bangs into your new car. You feel the same way. It's no different. Whether you're a student, whether you're a worker, it's the same. our world falls apart. You see, greed, when we hold on to things too tightly, will disappoint and crush us because it calls us to rely and bank on and live for what cannot give us lasting joy and happiness. Has that ever occurred to you? You know, just last year, the newspapers ran the story of a Chinese fisherman. His name is Wu Chen. He's from Deyang in China. He's 67 years old. And 6 years ago, at the age of 67, what he did was, in his life, he had been burying his life savings. He didn't trust the bank. And so he buried his life savings in the ground. At 6 years ago, at 67, he finally dug up his life savings. He thought, it's time for me to retire, only to find that worms and insects had eaten through the container and the bag that had stored his money. His entire life savings, at the age of 67, gone. Now, a lot of us, we think, man, what a fool, right? Safer to put it in the banks. Really? Those of us who are old enough here, some of you are old enough in your 50s. I'm not going to point fingers, but those of you who are old enough, some of you can point. And I know some of you are pointing like this. Those of you who are old enough will know the rise and fall of economies, the devastating effect of natural disaster and whole communities and cities. You think of Greece, and you're thankful you don't live in Greece. You think of the closure of banks and businesses, even in Australian culture and society. How many of you remember Ansett? The fall of Dick Smith recently. Shareholders left with useless stocks. Investors have nothing to show for their investments. Money in the bank that's no longer available. The bad news is that all of us live in the grip of greed. And that's why we're never satisfied, and that's why we're always wanting more. We're accumulating, we're hungry for more, we're stockpiling, either grabbing at things or holding on tightly to things. It's no difference putting your money in a bank or investing in a property and burying your money in the ground. It eventually goes. And so the bad news is that greed cannot give you security and happiness that you're looking for. It's going to disappoint you and it's going to crush you. Now, here's the good news this morning. There is good news, okay? Here's the good news. There is a way to be released from greed, and it comes to us in Matthew chapter 13, because the only way you can be freed from the shackles of greed is something greater and something more secure must replace the object of your greed. Something more valuable must replace the object of your greed. And the good news is that Jesus is actually that greater treasure, if you've never realized it. That's why he's come. The eternal has come. The lasting has come. The infinite has come. And the good news is that it's come in Jesus. That's why in Matthew 13, Jesus says of himself, he says he is the treasure of heaven. Jesus says of himself that he says, my kingdom and my rule and what I offer, he says, is like a treasure in a field, a treasure hidden in a field worth more than all your current wealth and possessions and acquisitions. Enjoy, you'd give it up all for me if you knew how much I was worth. I'm the security you're looking for. I'm the happiness you're longing for. Jesus says of himself and his rule and his kingdom, I'm the hidden treasure in the field, worth more than anything you possessed in life. He says, then he actually, in Matthew 13, he says, I'm that gem. I'm that single gem, right, of such value. It surpasses everything else in your gem collection. Look at everything you possess that's valuable in your collection. He says, I'm worth more, and you'd be willing to give it all up if you knew how much I was worth, that single gem. I'm the security and happiness and longing you're looking for. The only way to kill greed in your life, it's right here. Understand what you have in Jesus. Trade up, exchange up. The greedy need to be greedy for the right things. You got to be greedy for Jesus, the greater treasure. You know, has it ever occurred to you, that's the reason why in the Gospels, right, in the account of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the biography of Jesus, you find that constantly Jesus refers to himself as the water of life, that if you drink, you never go thirsty, because it's lasting, it's eternal. He refers to himself as the bread of life, that if you eat of him, you never go hungry. It's lasting, it goes on forever. He refers to himself as the rock that cannot be moved. If you anchor in him, doesn't matter if the flood comes, if the wind comes, it will not be shaken. It is secure, lasting. That's how he describes himself. He is the treasure that is not subject to decay or time, that cannot be stolen or taken away. Jesus is the eternity your heart longs for? Has it ever occurred to you? And only when you grasp the greater and more lasting treasure you have in Him, only then will your hands stop grabbing, and only then will your hands stop hoarding. Only the power of a greater treasure can release you from the power of a lesser treasure in life. You might want to write that down. Here's a principle, right? Only the power of a greater treasure can release you from the power of a lesser treasure in life. Only the power of a greater treasure can release you from the attraction of a lesser treasure in life. The reason why we're greedy is because we don't treasure Jesus. That's basically it. Has it ever occurred to you that perhaps you're greedy in life because you're grabbing for all the wrong things? Because Jesus isn't a treasure in your life. But where Jesus is treasured, you'll notice the power of having a greater treasure. Really quickly, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is the power of having Jesus as a greater treasure, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul holds out a community, a church of believers who are incredibly generous at what they have, and you discover this is the power that drives them. This is how the power of the gospel drives them. And so you read it there, verse 1, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and even in their extreme poverty, they welled up in rich generosity, grace. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. The power of a greater treasure is found there in that word grace. They receive grace. Here are a group of Christians who are giving generously. How are they able to give generously? Why are they not hoarding, even though life is tough and difficult for them? Even though they're experiencing material poverty? How are they able to let go and share what they've been given? Well, it's found in that word grace. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because for most of us, the norm for most of us in terms of sharing what we have is based on whether it affects our lifestyle. I'm the first to admit that. Whether it impinges our lifestyle. Oh, give to a cause, share my time, spend time with people. Well, does it impact my lifestyle? That's how we tend to work. Whether it slows down our home loan repayment, whether it affects our holiday plan, whether it impacts our purchasing power. Has it ever occurred to you that perhaps it might be actually greedy to live like that? Because remember what we saw about greed, what Jesus tells us about greed. The greedy live for themselves, grabbing and holding on for themselves, because they want security and control. And I have heard it many times in 16 years. The university student who says to me, when I have lots of money one day and when I start work, then I can be more generous. The young working couple who says to me, who just married, well, we've got to reduce our mortgage, but once we do that, we'll be able to support missionaries. The family with young children who say to me, when the kids graduate, we'll give more to support the gospel. The young single worker who makes big purchases and travel plans each year, who thinks, when I finally settle down, I'll give more to support ministry. Can I say to you, you will not. You will not. If you're not dying to greed as university students, as families, as workers, single or married, if you don't die to greed now, you always live grabbing and hoarding for yourself. You always do that. The reality is, if you're not dying to greed and rising to gospel generosity, it will never happen tomorrow, no matter how much money you make or have. Some of you here have worked many years. Those of you who have been working for the last 5 to 10 years, right? Let me ask you this. Has your generosity, has your giving increased proportionally to your income? Has your giving increased proportionally to your income? Has your generosity in giving money away to share with others, to benefit others, to grow the kingdom, has that increased proportionally to your increase in income? You see, the problem is that our lifestyles tend to increase with our income, but not our generosity, not our willingness to share or give. And that's actually a reflection of our greed. Has it ever occurred to you that perhaps as you've worked harder and made more, has it ever occurred to you that perhaps you've actually become more greedy? Because it's not matched by increasing generosity. But grace changes everything, doesn't it? And so have a look at verse 1. Because the Macedonians found in Jesus a greater treasure, someone more secure, more valuable than anything they possess or could ever own. And so you notice, even in verse 9, for you know the grace of who? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we found the greater treasure in Jesus, more secure than any possession we have or will ever have. that though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. And as that happens, they overflowed in generosity. They looked to the cross. They saw his nail-pierced hands. Hands nailed to the cross for their greed, their selfishness, their attempts to gain control and security in life, their constant hoarding in life. And grace received become grace that overflows in generosity. In fact, you read in verse 4, and I don't know whether I've got it up there, but that's right. You read in verse 4, notice, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service, in giving and sharing what they had to help others, to the Lord's people, to help them. You see, you got to understand is when Jesus is treasured in someone's life, when Jesus takes root as the greater treasure in your life, it will release you from greed in life. It'll stop you grabbing at things. It'll stop you hoarding on to things. And it'll actually release you and free you to be generous in serving, in loving, in giving to others. That's the power of the gospel. I want us to be very clear this morning. Generosity is the very opposite to greed. And you can work out whether you're greedy by how generous you are. Let me say that again. You can work out whether you are greedy by how generous you are. You can work out whether you're dying to greed by how much you are rising to generosity. Are you increasing in sharing what you have? Loving others more, serving others more, giving to others. Generous with your money to gospel ministry. So here's the challenge, you see, for us this morning. And we end on these words, which is why Paul says in verse 7, but just as you excel in everything, he says, you do well in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. Giving generously to serve, to love, to care, and giving generously of your wealth to others. You see, like a river that's been flooded and overflowing, like a man who has found the lasting and hidden and infinite treasure in the field, like the man who now owns the most valuable of gems, like the man or woman who has found the greatest treasure, giving them lasting security and wealth in Jesus, overflow in the grace of generosity. Here is something that applies to every believer. You can be a student, you can be a worker, it applies to you. Grow in the grace of giving. 2016 is a big year for a lot of you. If you're starting university, it's a big year. Finishing university, starting work for the first time, full-time work, that's a big year. Maybe you got a home this year or getting married this year. It's a big year for you. Be careful. Be very careful with your wealth, possessions, and pursuits as you move into 2016. Be very careful. What you give your life to, what you pursue, your attitude to wealth and money and possessions and pursuits matters. How you use your wealth, possessions, and pursuit matters. Whether you live your life grabbing at stuff or hoarding stuff actually matters, because Jesus says greed will eventually crush you and destroy you. But the good news in the gospel, the good news is that there is a treasure that's infinite and lasting, a treasure that cannot be stolen from you. Your heart's longing for eternity, well, it's met in the Lord Jesus. The challenge for us this year, Psalm 16 verse 11 actually says, you might want to write that down. Psalm 16, 11 says, here is the path to life. You long for eternity in your life, for lasting joy, lasting happiness, lasting security. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, here is the path to life. It's found in his presence. There is joy in his presence because he is eternal. At his right hand are lasting pleasures forever. Why? Because he's eternal. At his right hand, where Jesus stands, are lasting treasures. Only when you find in Jesus your greater treasure, your security, your wealth, your anchor, will your heart be released from the spirit of greed. And only then will you reach out to give, share, and serve. Let me encourage you, as you greet 2016, you're starting school next week, starting university in a month, getting married, some of you, next few months, to make Jesus, and let me encourage you to make Jesus and his saving work, all he has done, all he is, the object of your pursuits, the object of your life's pursuit, your passion, your desire, to make it your commitment this year to grow and immerse yourself in him, to grow deep in his love, to treasure him more, to have him be your heart's desire and your heart's treasure. And I can tell you that as that happens, the gospel will free you from the grip of greed. Only then will your heart and your hands be released to serve, to love, and to give. Let me pray for us. Father, this morning we just want to come to you. And we do want to confess that in many ways all of us here struggle with greed in our lives. We're greedy for things. And we're hoarding on to things. And sometimes we don't realize that those things that bring us happiness and security are things that are going to crush us and going to destroy us, especially when you pull the rug from under us to teach us that they are insecure, they're not lasting. We want to recognize this morning that our hearts have been made for you, that you have created us with a God-shaped vacuum, with eternity in our hearts, so that in our lives we are always longing for lasting joy and happiness and peace and security. Help us recognize that it cannot be found in finite, breakable, earthly things. And so help us instead this morning, as we begin the year, to cast our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, to see in him the hidden treasure in the field that in joy we will sell and give up everything for. Help us to see that he is the gem, the one pearl of great price that surpasses everything, that if we possess, we will find our eternity, our lasting joy and security and happiness. And so help us resolve to pursue Jesus. And we ask this in his beautiful and glorious name. Amen.